Good morning and welcome to our online reflection here in Craigie Hill Presbyterian Church on the last day of January on 2021. We'll just start off with just a few announcements. Please remember that after this reflection there'll be a time online on Zoom for fellowship. So please do join in with that. Tonight we'll be continuing our series in the Westminster and Larger Catechism, and the topic tonight is the humiliation of Christ. The Kirk session today would remember their online meeting tomorrow night at 7:30. And then on Wednesday night our women's fellowship will be taking place, but it's only online via Zoom. There's a special speaker, Avril Heenan, and she'll be joining to share about Christians working to help victims of human trafficking, and that will be continuing on this year's theme of hope. So just click on the usual midweek Zoom link from the church website to join, and it'd be lovely, ladies, for you to be able to have that time of fellowship together. These are all the announcements. As we commence our reflection together, we read together from Isaiah 53, verses 7 to 9. Isaiah 53, verses 7 to 9. This is God's word. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgressions of my people, they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Amen. Let us all pray. Loving eternal Father God, we come as a fallen, sinful people to worship you, the one true and living God. And we come, we approach you, the one who is holy, who is just, who is full of glory and honour and majesty. We come to worship you, the Ancient of Days, the one who knows no beginning and no end, the one who is the creator and sustainer of life, the one who is blessed, the one who is our rock, our refuge, our redeemer, the one who is our King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We come in fear and trembling and worship you, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Father, we recognize today that in and of ourselves that we could never approach your throne of grace due to our sin, due to our fallenness, due to our rebellion. But Father, we praise you that we come today in the name of Jesus Christ, the only mediator between man and God. Father, we praise you that he is the fulfillment of this prophecy in Isaiah. Father, he is that Lamb of God that was wounded for our transgressions. Father, he was that perfect sacrificial Lamb, that greater Passover Lamb that was shed for the sins of his chosen people. Father, we thank you today that it's through him who intercedes on our behalf that we come before you. We confess our sins to you. Father, we've been born of Adam's sin. In sin did our mothers conceive us. Father, our sin deserves nothing more than death. Eternal death, eternal separation from you, eternal judgment, in the place of outer darkness. We want to thank you today that it's because of Jesus that our sins have been cancelled, that our slate has been wiped clean, and that we know peace and forgiveness and acceptance with you as our Heavenly Father, our Abba Father. Father, we pray at this time of reflection as we read your word and study it, Lord, as we spend this time scattered, though but together by means of modern technology, we would pray that your name would be honoured and glorified. We would pray that this time together, even though we're scattered, would bring us joy. And Lord, would give us strength as we continue on in our walk with Jesus. We pray these things now in his name. Amen. Well, at this stage we're going to have our scripture readings, and our first one will be taken from Isaiah chapter 19, verses 16 to 25. Isaiah 19, verses 16 to 25. We're going to see in this passage how Egypt, Assyria, and Israel are blessed, whom the Lord of hosts has blessed, saying, "Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the works of my hand, and Israel, my inheritance." Let's hear God speak to us. "In that day the Egyptians will be like women and tremble with fear before the hand that the Lord of hosts shakes over them. And the land of Judah will become a terror to the Egyptians. Everyone to whom it is mentioned will fear because of the purpose that the Lord of hosts has proposed against them. In that day there will be five cities in the land of Egypt that speak the language of Canaan and swear allegiance to the Lord of hosts. One of these will be called the city of destruction. In that day there will be an altar to the Lord in the midst of the land of Egypt, and a pillar to the Lord at its border. It will be a sign and a witness to the Lord of hosts in the land of Egypt. When they cry to the Lord because of oppressors, he will send them a saviour and defender and deliver them. And the Lord will make himself known to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians will know the Lord in that day and worship with sacrifice and offering. And they will make vows to the Lord and perform them. And the Lord will strike Egypt, striking and healing, and they will return to the Lord, and he will listen to their pleas for mercy and heal them. In that day there will be a highway from Egypt to Assyria, and Assyria will come into Egypt, and Egypt into Assyria, and the Egyptians will worship with the Assyrians. In that day Israel will be the third with Egypt and Assyria, a blessing in the midst of the earth, whom the Lord of hosts hath blessed, saying, Blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the works of my hand, and Israel, my inheritance." And then also we're going to read together the passage we'll be focusing on today, Acts 8, verses 26 to 40. Acts 8, verses 26 to 40. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, Rise and go towards the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place. And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, Go over and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, Do you understand what you are reading? And he said, How can I, unless someone guides me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this. Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, About whom, I ask you, does this prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? And Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with the scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop. And they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized them. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself at Assotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel to all the towns until he came to Caesarea. Amen. Amen. Well, God's word to us this morning is that God enables the expansion of his church. God enables the expansion of his church. This morning we're going to see, and we're going to continue to see, how God's message of salvation continues to spread. In Acts 8, we have saw how persecution has led to the vast expansion of the church. Last week we saw how Christ was being proclaimed in the north to Samaria. And today we will see how God, by his Holy Spirit, leads and directs Philip to proclaim Christ to a government official, the Ethiopian eunuch. The Ethiopian eunuch was no Jew, but he was a man who feared the God of Israel. Here we see Christ being proclaimed to a man from Africa. Here in Acts 8, we see Christ beginning to be proclaimed to the nations, to the ends of the earth. Congregation, from our text this morning, we see how God is building and expanding his church. God has taken his gospel to the nations. The sovereign Lord directs Philip in where he should go. We see that Philip is faithful, obedient to the Lord's will. And we see that God is at work within the eunuch's life, preparing his heart for this encounter. The eunuch is reading the prophet Isaiah. The eunuch asks questions. He's looking for answers. And God in his grace brings salvation to this eunuch. From our text this morning, we shall see how Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy of the suffering servant in Isaiah chapter 53. Jesus was oppressed and afflicted. He, the innocent Lamb of God, was slain for the sins of his chosen people. God enables the expansion of his church. Let's work through the text, and then we will consider its application. From verse 26, we see that Philip receives a divine command to head south to Jerusalem, south of Jerusalem, to Gaza. The angel of the Lord directed Philip to the very road that he should travel on, the road from Jerusalem to Gaza. God is here directing Philip. Gaza would have been the last water drop stop for the Ethiopian eunuch before he would have entered the desert. In verses 27 to 28, we see that the eunuch is reading the prophet Isaiah. Verse 27 tells us that Philip did as he was instructed by the angel of the Lord. He rose and went. Verse 27 introduces us to the Ethiopian eunuch. It reveals to us his identity and his occupation. He is the queen of Ethiopia's treasure. The text tells us that he has been in Jerusalem to worship. Probably at one of the great pilgrim festivals. He was not a Jew, however, he worshipped the Jewish God. As a non-Jew, he would have been limited to the courts of the Gentiles in the temple. He now is on his journey home, and as he is travelling home, he is reading the prophet Isaiah. From verses 29 to 31, we see Philip is guided by the Spirit of God to this eunuch. Verse 29 tells us that Philip is instructed by the Spirit of God to go over to the eunuch's carriage. Verse 30 informs us that Philip was obedient to this divine command as he was going over to the chariot. We see that he hears the eunuch reading out aloud his copy of the prophet of Isaiah. We see that Philip starts a conversation with the eunuch by asking him, does he understand what he is reading? A very simple, basic question. From verse 31, we see that the eunuch does not understand what he is reading. However, he seeks Philip's guidance. He invites Philip to join him in his chariot and to reveal to him the meaning of Isaiah's prophecy. Philip now knows why the Spirit of God has directed him to this eunuch. Philip is more than ready to explain Isaiah's prophecy to this eunuch. We see how Philip reveals to the eunuch that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. God enables the expansion of his church. Philip, in verses 32 to 35, explains to the eunuch how Isaiah's prophecy finds its fulfillment in Jesus Christ. Verses 32 to 33 reveals to us the very passage from Isaiah the eunuch was reading when he first encountered Philip. It was Isaiah 53, verses 7 to 8. The eunuch is reading Isaiah's God-given prophecy of the suffering servant of the Lord, which has found its fulfillment in the sacrifice and death of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53 and verse 7 points out the innocent, silent suffering of the servant and compares the suffering servant to a sacrificial lamb. The suffering servant was unjustly murdered. He was denied justice. The prophet Isaiah asked the question in Isaiah 53 and verse 8, what kind of generation can take a life like this? Who can describe this generation? It is only a wicked generation who could have carried out such a wicked act. They denied the suffering servant common justice. They declared him innocent, yet they had him condemned to death. In his humiliation, he was denied justice. In verse 34, we see the eunuch desires to know who is Isaiah speaking about. Who is this suffering servant? Who is this one who is innocent but was denied justice? The eunuch asks Philip, who is this prophet speaking about? Is it about himself or someone else? Philip now in verse 35 is given his God-given opportunity to proclaim to this eunuch who this suffering servant of Isaiah 53 really is. We see Philip opens his mouth and he tells the eunuch the good news about Jesus Christ. Philip would have told the eunuch that Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Isaiah 53's suffering servant. Jesus was denied common justice by the Jews. Jesus was despised and rejected by men. He was innocent, yet the religious establishment condemned him to death, even death on a cross. Jesus was the sinless Lamb of God that was offered in sacrifice for sin. He justified his chosen people by bearing their iniquities. He was wounded for their transgressions. Philip would have told the eunuch how Jesus rose from the grave on the third day and how he now is ascended into heaven. How does the eunuch respond to Philip's gospel message that Jesus Christ is the suffering servant who provides eternal life for his chosen people? Verse 36 tells us that as they were travelling along the road, they come across water, most likely on the verge or already in the start of the desert. And a dry land, we see God is fully in control of all this. And we see what the eunuch says. He basically asks to be baptized. He says, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? We don't know how the eunuch knew anything about baptism. Maybe Philip told him. Maybe he heard about it while he was in Jerusalem. What is clear is this, that the eunuch has responded to the message of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. God in his grace has given the eunuch the faith to respond to the gospel and to repent from his sins. His willingness to receive baptism shows us that he has responded to the gospel. His trust and confidence for salvation is in Jesus Christ alone. God enables the expansion of his church. Now you will notice from the text within your Bible that verse 37 is not in the main text. The text moves from verse 36 directly to verse 38. But if you look down to the very bottom of your Bible, or at least it is in mine, you will find verse 37 down at the bottom. And the reason verse 37 is not in the main text is because it is not found in the original text of Acts. It was added in at a later date, and commentators would believe that would have taken place about the 2nd century. From verse 38, we see that the eunuch orders his chariot to be stopped. And he and Philip went down to the water, and we see that Philip baptizes the eunuch. After Philip had baptized the eunuch, the text is clear that Philip's God-given task here is now completed. God's Spirit took Philip immediately before the eyes of the eunuch. In verse 39, we see that the eunuch continues on his journey home, rejoicing and praising God for his salvation. Verse 40 tells us that Philip found himself in a Sardis, where he continued to preach that Jesus Christ is Lord. God enables the expansion of his church. How are we to apply this text to our lives today? Congregation, from this text, we see it as God who is calling all the shots. It is God who directed Philip to Gaza. It is God who directed Philip to the eunuch's chariot. It was God who prepared the eunuch's heart for his unexpected encounter with Philip. It was God who was expanding his church. The Ethiopian eunuch was going to go back to the continent of Africa, a transformed man who had been saved by God's grace through faith in Christ alone. When the Ethiopian eunuch reached home, you can be sure that he did not keep the good news of Jesus Christ to himself. The message of the gospel that the religious establishment had tried so hard to stamp out was now beginning to reach the ends of the earth. Over the next few months, as we continue our study here in the book of Acts, we're going to see the gospel being taken further and further and churches being planted. God will continue to give divine appointments and God will continue to give the increase. Congregation, over these past 2,000 years, God has continued to expand his church. God, according to his sovereign will, allowed the gospel even to come to our shores, to Ireland. The gospel has been and is spreading throughout the world. Right across the globe today, followers of Jesus Christ will have already, and will be later on this day, gathering to worship our great God. The gospel has broken through cultural barriers. The gospel is just not for the Jew, it's also for the Gentiles. God will complete his salvation for all his chosen people. When the Lord returns for his bride, his church, Revelation 7 and verse 9 tells us that there's going to be a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. God enables the expansion of his church. We also see from this text that Philip was faithful and obedient for God's will to be done in his life. Philip, as you will remember from Acts chapter 6, was chosen and called to serve tables at the daily distribution. Philip was set apart. After the church scattered from Jerusalem, Philip, as we saw last week, preached Christ in Samaria, and signs accompanied his preaching to say that it was of God. This morning, we have saw that when God called Philip, Philip rose immediately and went. When the Spirit told Philip, go over to the chariot, Philip ran to the chariot. Philip knew that God was giving him a divine appointment, and Philip took it with both hands, and he proclaimed Christ to the eunuch, and God gave the increase. God opened the eunuch's heart and convinced him of his need of Christ. Philip crossed culture lines to proclaim Christ. I wonder for those of us who God has called and set aside into what we would know as a full-time service to proclaim his word. Are we truly open for God's will to be done in our lives? Are we faithful and obedient to God's leading and guiding? Are we willing to go where he leads us to? Are we truly willing to say, as the hymn writer puts it, here am I, Lord, use me. Is it not so true? Our prayer often instead is, Lord, don't send me there. We have our excuses. It's too far out of the way. It's just not a good fit. We need to be open to God's will for our lives. Unless we are where the Lord wants us to be, it will never work. There'll be no fruit. God enables the expansion of his church. This text just does not show us how the church expanded, but it also shows us how the church came to be. Philip proclaimed Christ to the eunuch. Jesus Christ is the sole king and head of the church. No Christ, no church. Some as I. God's salvation plan is fulfilled through Christ. He is the fulfillment of Isaiah's suffering servant in Isaiah chapter 53. He who had done no violence, he who had never spoke no deceit, was led away like a lamb to the slaughter. It was the greatest injustice in all of human history. And it's through his righteousness that we are forgiven, cleansed, healed, and restored. Today, is your heart open to the truth of the gospel like the eunuch's was when he met Philip? God opened the eunuch's heart to the truth of the gospel. God gave the eunuch the faith to believe. God will save his covenant people. He will fulfill his covenant promise. Today, can you say with certainty that when the Lord comes to take his bride to glory, that you will be there? That you will be part of that number? Only those who are in Christ will be there. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. I trust you can say that you will be there because of what the Lord has done for you and I. Believer, what a day it will be to be with the Lord forevermore. We shall never hunger anymore, neither thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike us, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb will be our shepherd. He will guide us to the streams of living water. He will wipe every tear away. There'll be no more suffering. There'll be no more death. There'll be no more fear. And to God be all the glory. Amen. Let us all pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for the suffering servant of the Lord, who came from glory and took on human flesh, and came with a purpose, that purpose to make atonement for the sins of his chosen people. Father in heaven, our sin has been dealt with through Christ, and we praise you for that. We praise you that he is the sole king and head of the church. And Father, we praise you that even in these days, that you are continuing to expand your church as you promised that you would, to the ends of the earth, in your way, according to your will, and in your timing, as you have chosen from before the foundations of the world. And as your covenant people today, we praise you that there will be a day when Christ shall return for his people, and then we shall be gathered as part of that great multitude, took to the new heavens and new earth, and gathered round the throne of the Lamb, and will sing, "Worthy is the Lamb of all praise, glory, and honour." He will be our dwelling place, and we shall be his people. Father in heaven, we want to thank you that our intercessor intercedes on our behalf right now. We intercede for the work of your church and for others. Father in heaven, today we do remember the work of the International Meeting Point in Belfast. We pray for Keith Preston and the team there working each day in the week. Lord, we realise at this time that there's been many believers fleeing countries where there's strife and trouble and coming to our wee land. And Father, they've come here basically as homeless people looking at home. And Father, they've come with very little. And Lord, there's a great need. And Father, we want to thank you that over this last week that you've been given our congregation an opportunity to serve, to be a witness for you in this way, in helping to provide some provision. And Lord, we pray for Keith and the team as they will be distributing that. And Lord, also as they will not just be doing practically at work, but also providing spiritual means as well through Bible studies and through prayer. Lord, we pray for those who have had to flee their land and come here for refuge. Lord, we would pray that they would find this place a welcoming home. Lord, even a welcoming spiritual home. Lord, where they've been pointed to Christ. Father, we want to pray, Lord, for those within our fellowship and within our community who continue to be in isolation at this time. It's been a long 12 months nearly of this. And Lord, isolation and loneliness is taking its toll. Father, we would ask that for those who find themselves in this situation, that you would be their strength, Lord, that you would give them the grace to persevere throughout these days, throughout this trial. And Lord, we would pray that this trial would soon come to an end. Father, we do pray for those who govern us in London and in Belfast. Lord, we know these last 48 hours have been rather difficult in negotiations once again with the EU. Lord, we would pray that you would lead and guide those who govern over us. Give them wisdom. Father, we thank you for those within our parliaments who love you as Saviour and Lord. Lord, we would pray that you would continue to use them to be salt and light, to be ambassadors for Christ right where you have placed them. Lord, we would pray also for those who are outside of Christ, working in these realms of authority which you have placed them there. Lord, we would pray even these days, these most difficult of days, that they would see their frailty, that they would see their weakness, and that they would cry out to you for help. Father, we also and finally pray for our own church here, our fellowship. We pray for our church session as it will meet tomorrow night. We thank you for our elders who you have called and set aside to serve in this way over the spiritual affairs of our congregation. Lead and guide them, we pray, O Lord. Give them wisdom in how to lead in days such as these. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and forevermore until Christ comes or calls. Amen.